You are listening to Baseball Zealot Radio. Okay, you are listening to Baseball Zealot Radio. Today we have Todd Ventresca from Pennsylvania. How you doing, Todd?
Okay, Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm Tom Nelsoppen from Urbana. Today we have a very exciting show today. We have Sean Roof. Sean is the starting shortstop for the University of Illinois baseball team. He's third team all Big Ten. He's Coastal League All-Star. On top of all that, he's the son of Gene Roof and nephew of Phil Roof, and we're really excited to have him on the show today. So that will be later on. I think in the meantime, we're going to have a couple conversations about a couple of hot stove discussions and maybe a few other topics that we might hit before we do that. But it won't be too long before we get Sean Roof online here. So Todd, what's been on your mind since we talked to you? We haven't talked in a long time.
Yeah, you guys probably have talked about a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
in
we
the
talked
last
about J.D.
weeks.
Drew.
Yeah,
no, that's been a big topic with you.
Unbelievable.
Oh,
yeah, what
I
can I say? More power to him.
Yeah,
you know, he walks away from that to get an extra $4 million. I think is all it is what he came out to. He had the 3 and 39.
Oh yeah.
Right, so he ended up getting a 4-year deal, I think, with the Red Sox at $14 million a year. Right. So it turns out for $4 million more, he leaves. But you know, that's what the guy's all about. What can I say?
Well, didn't I just hear? It came out. I think it was like yesterday or today that the Sox are concerned about his shoulder. And
hey.
So the deal isn't quite yet.
Well,
quite finalized. And
yeah, I guess he hasn't really signed the deal, right?
I mean, Drew with the injury problems. Now, what a concept, right?
Yeah, there's something new. The season hasn't even started yet.
Right.
But I had heard. Now, did he ever officially sign the deal? I heard that the last I heard, and it's been about a week or two ago, that he left Boston without actually signing the deal.
They have reached an agreement.
They reached the agreement.
But the deal has not yet been finalized.
Yeah, so he's still really not there yet.
No, and it's been, I mean, they have been like this close, you know, for, what, 2 weeks now?
Yeah.
And I mean, but then now there's, you know, this deal with his shoulder and, you know, Boris and the Sox are, I guess, haggling over the whole injury thing and, for $70 million, I mean, you might want to be a little more sure about the.
Well, $70 million, yeah. So he got 5 years.
Right, you're right.
Yeah, so he got an extra $5 million out of the deal in two more years. So he got more than that. He got $28 million plus the extra. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he got more.
Right.
But you know, the guy. What can I tell you? I mean, he's got talent. There's no doubt about that. But
yeah,
I just question his desire to really go out and play, and you know, and the Red Sox deserve everything that comes with it. You know,
no,
they thought Manny was bad. Just wait, at least Manny's out there every day.
No, that's very true. I never had any problem with Manny Ramirez and his talent and his ability to play, and the fact that he is out there every day. I mean. Sure, there's some baggage out there with his, you know, with what it comes with him when he's in
Manny being Manny.
Yeah, Manny being Manny, and you just have to deal with that. But you know, like you said, he's out there and he's playing.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and I think he cares about winning more than J.D. Drew. But well, we'll see.
Yeah,
time will tell, and who knows? Who knows?
I think we'll find out.
So then the Red Sox have the other big deal with Dice K.
Dice K. Dice K mania, huh?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny, you know. I thought it was kind of funny, all the hype going to the Red Sox, Dice K, and then, you know, the Pirates quietly in the back door, you know, signed their own Japanese pitcher there.
Right.
He's 38, 39 years old.
Yeah.
That's the Pirates for you.
Right, yeah.
You know, and that even took a while to get that done. The guy's pitched in Japan for 21 years, I think.
Did he really? That long?
Yeah. Well, he's like 39 years old, 40 years old.
What was his name now?
I don't even remember his name. I can get it for you. But
yeah,
I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
the Pirates jumping into the Japanese market now. Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to the press conference of Matsusaka, and of course, you know, Matsusaka speaking through a translator, and all the Boston execs are speaking very slow, so that the translator can
understand everything he's saying.
And there was nothing really that was said that was the ordinary. Everything was set according to script, I'm sure. And now, I mean, Matsusaka is being, basically shown throughout the whole town. I heard he dropped the puck at the Boston Bruins game.
He came out. He did do that. So,
and I'm sure he'll be doing that for next month or two. Just all the good stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, the Pirates, I can't find the guy's name, but, you know, that's another, I tell you, living here in Pittsburgh, you just scratch your head at some of the things that they do.
Right.
It's ridiculous. You talk about...
How old is he now?
I'm telling you, the guy's like 39 years old.
39,
40 years old, yeah.
Wow.
And he's just horrible. I'm not him. I mean, the organization. They're just horrible. The things that they're doing now.
Sure.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. You know? It's just unbelievable. Now you hear that they had a deal supposedly all worked out for LaRoche. It was Mike Gonzalez for Adam LaRoche. It was supposed to be a straight-up deal. Yeah, it was at the winter meetings.
Right.
And then the deal falls through, and you hear reports from the Braves saying, well, the Pirates dragged their feet, they got tired of waiting, so they didn't do it. Now, if that's true, I mean, you know, what does that tell you? But then the other side, you have Dave Littlefield coming out and saying that, you know, the Braves, that's not true, and the only reason it didn't happen because they came back at the end and insisted they wanted more than just Gonzalez. They wanted more.
Oh.
So... You don't know who to believe.
No,
but I mean, you know. But if they could have had a deal straight up that, and they didn't pull the trigger, then shame on them again. I mean,
right.
I mean, Gonzalez is good, but he's got some issues, arm issues maybe. You know, he had ran into a little stretch last year. But, you know, he's a closer for a team that can't win a game. So what good is he on this team?
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Right? What good is he doing? They could throw somebody else. They got Solomon Torres they could throw out there to close next year. I mean, the guy's been solid for them for a couple of years now. What a comeback story he's been, you know?
Sure.
Talk about resurrecting a career. But he really did. And, you know,
right. No, I know.
He's pitched well for him. There's no doubt about that.
Well, we were talking about a week or two ago.
One last thing was the fact that, you know, their whole thing in the off season was they want to get a big left-handed bat in the lineup to protect Jason Bay. Well, there it was, right there.
Yeah.
You know, I know LaRoche has some baggage too, but
what's his baggage?
Yeah, well, he had the issues last year. I think remember he had some issues. He was suspended by Bobby Cox for a couple games because it turned out he's bipolar or something like that, I think, and he was off his medication, and he didn't show up.
I had forgotten about that.
But, you know.
Yeah, hey, you
but
know.
But that stuff could be controlled.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Yeah.
You know. So, anyway.
Well, we were talking about certain teams that have been very active in the off season in the hot stove and trading, and certain teams have not. And I was just thinking that Pittsburgh really has not been too active, other than what you've just been talking about just now. Is that true?
They haven't been active. They have done absolutely. I mean, they've re-signed Marte, Thomaso Marte. Now they had eight guys that were up. They had to make a decision on whether to tender them or not.
Right.
Contracts. And Of course they did. One of the guys that they tendered was Sean Chacon.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Now, they're going to have, you know, $3-4 million a year tied up in this guy.
Right.
I mean, he could decline the offer and then he becomes a free agent, which right. I think would be the best case scenario, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
The guy, what's he going to do, this guy? Sean Chacon. I mean, they're counting on him as a fifth starter or fourth starter. I mean, he's 29 years old. He had a 6.36 ERA last year. You know, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, a couple years ago, I thought he had, you know, some promise. I don't know. I obviously, he didn't have it last year, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You obviously know more about it than I do.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, they kept Castillo, Jose Castillo. They tendered Castillo, Jody Garrett. I mean that's
Jody,
a big deal.
Jody Garrett.
Yeah, he's still
really?
There. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
They had the problem with him last year.
Right.
You know, he had the knee injury, and they wanted him to go and rehab, and he didn't want to, and he didn't feel he was hurt.
Right.
He wanted to be on the 40-man roster because he wanted to get the money and all of that.
Right,
they had that
sure.
big grievance
right.
thing and settled that. So he was in the minors. Well, he really didn't play a whole lot last year because of the injury.
No.
But he'll be. They tendered him again, and Gonzalez, Freddy Sanchez. Now here's
so
a guy.
That's a story for Pittsburgh for a while.
Yeah, he wins the batting title, right? Again, he.
Uh-huh.
You know, as I call it, it's the accidental batting title because this guy wasn't even, they didn't even think he was good enough to be an everyday player.
No.
You know? And
they
went out and made the move to get Joe Randa.
Right. Sure.
In the offseason because Freddy Sanchez couldn't be an everyday third baseman.
No.
You know, he couldn't field and, you know, this and that. Well, all the guy did was he played a pretty good third base.
Right.
And he wins the batting title. And now they're not even talking to him about a contract extension or anything.
And
everybody's like, what's going on here? You know, why don't they lock this guy up now before he starts becoming arbitration eligible and all this
exactly.
stuff, you know? But, so all they did was tender him their one-year standard, whatever, $10 raise for next year or whatever.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I remember hearing an interview with him. It was probably maybe two-thirds of the way through the season when he was just really hot.
And
I was impressed with how he handled himself. And we kind of talked about this a little bit last week, where it seems to me that the young players, and I guess older players too, but I'm especially impressed how the younger players these days are really handling themselves so well with the press and with the interviews. And I guess, you know, I guess a cynical person would say that they're being, you know, trained to, you know, to handle the press. Maybe they're even getting to the point where they're taking, you know, they're being having training lessons on how to handle the press, that kind of thing. But I guess in a way that they're also being more mature in how they sound and how they do these interviews but I just was impressed on how Sanchez sounded in his interview but
some of them. But then
some
you got others.
Them, yeah.
You got others like Ian Snell.
Who?
Ian Snell.
And
last year for the Pirates.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
He was a pretty good pitcher. I mean,
sure,
you know,
yeah.
you hear about Duke and Mahalem all the time, but I'm telling you, Snell is he may end up being the best of the three, but we'll see. But the guy won 14 games last year for this crappy team.
Right.
But at the end of the season, the last day of the year, he was being interviewed after the game, which he got his 14th win. And the question came up about, you know, does he plan on staying in Pittsburgh through the off season and participating in, you know, some of the off season programs and things like that? And he made the comment he wouldn't be caught dead living in this town.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay. And it's not like he's from a, you know, like, you know, you can understand if he was, like, from the South where, you know, get away for the winter, and he's from Delaware. So
right.
It's not like he's escaping
to
a tropical paradise.
So, yeah.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't be.
Oh,
that
God.
Was his comment. That didn't go over too well.
No, I bet it didn't.
Oh,
that's funny.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But so I don't know what they're going to do. It'll be the same old, you know.
Right.
We'll see what happens. Then, I don't know. What can I tell you? They just never cease to amaze me. And again, yeah, they've just sitting here, and they're, you know, they're another team. They're getting the revenue sharing and just putting it right into the owner's pockets.
Right. Yeah.
None of it goes to, you know, they've got, they stated that at the end of last year their payroll would be about the same as it was last year, so they're not even looking to increase payroll. You know, all you keep hearing about is they got about $14 million, you know, eligible left that they can spend on players, but
right,
you know, the biggest name you hear is Jeff Supan. But
yeah,
you know, now it looks like he might be headed to Milwaukee, so
that's what I keep hearing.
Within the same division. But the Pirates apparently are still in the running. You know, he was here a couple years ago.
Right.
And matter of fact, that's who they traded to get Sanchez.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Oh. Sent him to the Red Sox for Freddie Sanchez. So, apparently he liked it here. And, you know, he hasn't rolled them out. Last I heard, they were still in the running. But they only offered like a 2-year deal where everybody else has been offering them 4. So
right.
I don't think they have a chance.
So, yeah, that's the way it's on here. And is that, he won't. That there's a he may go to the Milwaukee Brewers, and if that does happen, that's going to make the Brewers a major player in the division.
In that division, you know, you don't have to win.
No, you don't have
90 games to win that division.
No,
I mean,
not at all. You can win 85 games.
That's what I'm saying with the Pirates. I mean,
sure. I mean, yeah, it's anyway.
They aren't. You know, I mean, the way they played the second half last year.
Sure.
You know, and now the young arms have taken their lumps for a full season.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Duke coming down the stretch pitched really well.
Right.
You know, the last month and a half, his last 6-7 starts, he pitched really well. And with their bullpen, you know, they could just find a way to score some runs, you know. You can't, you know, these guys lost, Paul Mahalam, I mean, he lost a lot of games last year. You know, he gave up 2-3 runs, and the Pirates get one or none.
Sure, yeah.
You know, the whole team was like, you know, so the support is not there. Snell, I mean, that's what makes Snell's 14 wins just amazing. It really was an amazing year to win 14 games on that team. I mean, it's not Steve Carlton-like with the 27 and that, but,
well, that would be, that,
you know.
That would be,
but I mean,
this year he won 14?
Yeah.
I mean, that was, what, two wins below the league leader, right? The league leader was 16.
Yeah. Yeah, don't think
shared
about
by
it.
Six people, but
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, he won 14 games for the Pirates.
So,
this guy,
that's definitely,
you know,
nothing to sneeze at. So definitely,
yeah. But so we'll see what happens. But you know, they'll probably end up not getting their left-handed bat. Probably keep Brad Eldred in the minors once again. Not give him a shot, and probably have Domet playing first base.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's what it's looking like right now.
Sure, yeah.
So, anyway,
I read an article on MLB.com, and the headline said, PA to start opening day, ? Talking about Felix PA on the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
As to start center on opening day, ? And I read the article, and it's like a couple sentences in the article that actually refer to the fact that Cubs management is divided on whether or not PA will start in center on opening day. So I really was not too convinced on whether or not this was going to happen or what. I think that basically the reporter heard a rumor third hand and ran with it. And so because you know, I don't know if you heard, but I swore up and down that PA was not gonna start opening day. And
I mean, is he even gonna make the team?
He'll make the team. He'll probably halfway through the season, I think.
Yeah.
But
the other option is what, Soriano, right? I guess is the other
Soriano
one.
Soriano will probably play, I think, right field.
Is that what they're talking about?
I think they have to find a center fielder. I think there's no doubt about, no question about that.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, he could play center, but I don't think that's the best option. Right now, PA it's hitting like 216 in winter
leagues. Winter ball.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, they say it does not matter. Right now we need him to play center field. That's what we need him to do, and he's doing it, and he's doing it well. That's all that matters. But you kind of want your outfielders one to hit the ball a little bit too.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. Yeah.
I don't know. But we'll see what happens. You know, like I said, I have no clue what they're going to do, and it's just, again, you know, it'll just be another year of going to sitting in the most beautiful ballpark in America, just watching the worst team in America.
You're talking about Wrigley Field?
No, I'm talking about PNC Park.
I'll have to admit that I've been to PNC Park. I was very impressed by the park.
Yeah.
I was.
I think
one of the new parks, I have to admit, I did enjoy my time there.
Park, but it doesn't look like a new park. It gives the feeling of an old-time ballpark.
I have to say that when they built it, they built it for the comfort and the enjoyment of the fan.
Yeah.
I think they did.
Well, you know, not to keep beating a dead horse, but you go back to when they built it and the players that they had at the time. And all you heard about was, you know, this was a couple years after Cleveland had built the Jake. And, you know, they had Albert Bell, Lofton, Tomey, all those guys.
Right.
And they locked those guys up for a period of time so that when the new, and they came into the new ballpark and, you know, here they were going to the World Series, right?
Right.
They had Manny. And, you know, they locked those guys up. You know, they signed these guys to deals early. They avoided all the arbitration stuff. They had these guys locked up, and they had a heck of a team. They filled the ballpark. The fans were happy, and the Pirates were, you know, everybody was looking. Well, they go out, and they sign Kendall to that ridiculous, ridiculous contract.
Jason
Kendall.
Really?
I mean,
being on Indians.
No, I'm talking about the Pirates now. Back to the Pirates now, right? So here they come now. They're getting their new ballpark.
Okay.
And they had, you know, Kendall and Giles.
Right.
And, so here they come. They signed Kendall to that ridiculous,
right?
Was it like a 10-year, $130 million?
Yeah, contract. I do remember that.
I mean that was an albatross around their neck.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, the guy was a good player. He was a good catcher.
Sure, but,
you know, and he was, I mean, he was a guy you'd love to have on your team, but he wasn't worth that kind of money.
No.
Not over the long hauls, it turned out. And then, you know, a year later or something, he bust the ankle.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, he just never, I mean, you know, they had all their money tied up in that guy, you know, and you know, they signed Giles for a couple of years, but then, you know, now they turn around, they're forced, they didn't do anything else to build around them. With the revenue from the new ballpark, you know, they didn't follow the examples of anybody except how to line your pockets. And that was it. And that's all they're doing. And they're making money. The Pirates are not losing money. They are making money. So anyway, and last year with the All-Star game, they got that bone thrown to them. They got the All-Star game because they were complaining how during the interleague play when they had to play couple times they played the AL East.
Right.
They couldn't get the Yankees in Pittsburgh, and they wanted the Yankees here, you know, for the draw. Well, Steinbrenner said, I'm not going. He won't go to any of these small market places. You know?
Is that right?
Yeah, and I think the reason is he's ticked because they're not spending the revenue money. He's paying them the revenue money. Why should he send their team there to give them even more money from the game?
Even more money, sure. Yeah.
You know? And I can't blame the guy for that reasoning. You know, if these guys would turn around and invest that money, maybe his attitude would change. So they were complaining about that, so they gave him the All-Star game as a bone to keep him quiet about that. So
I suppose.
And they had their second highest attendance season ever last year, and here they are doing nothing. So, I mean, it is just amazing. It is amazing. So, and then you got the team, you know, this isn't baseball, but then you look at the Penguins, who have great support. They're selling out like crazy. They can't get a new arena, and they might be gone in a year. You know,
is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah. They've got all kind of support. They're doing great. They've got the two best players in hockey, maybe, you know, right now. And it's just amazing. But they can't get an arena, and they have all the support. And then you got this team who won't do anything to develop talent. And they've got their nice ballpark, and they just rip their fans off. So it's just ridiculous. Anyway, enough about the Pirates.
Yeah.
So I see here J.D. Drew now. Back, we were talking about his shoulder. He's supposed to go get a second opinion on it.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens there.
So White Sox got Toby Hall.
Oh, that's right. I heard about that.
They brought Toby Hall in, and they got Cisco from the Royals. They keep getting.
What's your opinion on the whole Royals situation?
I mean,
they gave Gilmesh
a lot of money. I mean, he's a decent pitcher, but
you're the first person I've heard anywhere to at least qualify and say he's a decent pitcher.
Well, I mean, he's a decent pitcher, but
I think he is.
He's not worth that kind of money.
Not even give him that much.
But you know what, though? What would he end up getting? 11, 12, 13 million or something a year?
Right.
I mean, that's... Look at what Ted Lilly signed for, right? I mean, these guys aren't frontline starters, but look at the money they're getting now.
Sure.
These are back end of the rotation guys.
It's
getting crazy.
The market right now. I mean,
you know,
sure.
And why would the Royals? I mean, isn't there a hitter or something they could? I mean, I guess maybe you can't get a hitter for that money now.
If I were the GM of the Royals, and I were in a situation that the Royals were in, I would have gotten some sort of franchise.
I guess they figure. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think that the Gilmesh would help them in the long term. I think maybe they're thinking, maybe Gilmesh.
I don't know if you can get a hitter for that kind of money anymore.
That may be. Maybe there aren't hitters out there right now to get that.
Vernon Wells.
He
got $14 million a year though for 7 years.
Right. That's the thing.
That's a long deal, too, 7 years.
Right.
So I don't know. But they gave Mesh a 5-year deal, I think, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think that's crazy. I don't know. I don't understand it. But again, they're another organization that really apparently doesn't know what they're doing either.
Right,
so.
Yeah. I think they just want to show that they can spend money. And they certainly did that. But whether or not they can spend it judiciously is another.
Yeah. And then the Yankees are dangling Melky Cabrera out there.
Is that right? I haven't heard that yet.
Yep. So it would have been interesting to have Sean here and ask him about that.
Right, yeah.
But apparently they are discussing a couple of deals. So one of them is in a 3-way deal with the Pirates again.
Oh yeah.
With LaRoche and Gonzalez would end up going to the Yankees.
Right.
And LaRoche to the Pirates, and Cabrera would end up with the Braves.
Sure.
So that wouldn't be a bad deal either. I'd take that. The Pirates would still end up with what they wanted to do. So we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it gets to the point where maybe holding fast and not making all the deals, maybe the safest, maybe the best move, I don't know, but I think the Cubs were doing so well, and then they made a couple moves with Lilly and Marquis, and they should have just stopped. Yeah.
Maybe after the Marquis deal. I mean, you know, he's had his problems for sure. But I mean, at least they didn't back up the truck for that guy.
That's true.
You're paying a guy three, four million. You're taking a flyer on him now. It's crazy,
right, Todd?
That's what I said. They can put him in left field if all else fails.
Put him in left field.
All else fails, they can put him in left and hit him fifth.
At least he can pitch it once in a while. Shoot.
So, how's this for an outfield? You got Marquis in left,
right.
Soriano in center, and Zambrano in right.
Zambrano in right. He's got a hell of an arm, right?
thinking of power from those guys.
Oh, my God. He'll have a cannon for an arm, right?
Cannon for an arm and, you know.
Oh, my God.
6 home runs and how many at-bats last year?
Oh, shoot.
You know, and what could he do playing every day, this guy? Okay. He might hit 200, but he could be a kingman. He could be the next Babe Kingman.
Pitch every five days,
too, right?
That's
right, just like the Babe. Just
like the Babe, right, exactly.
Play him 3 days, rest him a day, then pitch him.
Sure.
Rest him a day, play him 3, rest him, pitch him. There you go. I got to figure it out.
Yeah. Boy, if we were the managers, I tell you, we'd win every day.
yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, we're going to close up this section here. When we come back, we're going to have Sean Roof. Sean Roof is, as I said, the starting shortstop for the University of Illinois baseball team. And we will be back in a couple seconds. One thing, actually, I do want to say before we go. Ted and I have been talking about the movie This Old Cub, which is... a movie about Ron Santo and the Cubs. I was actually talking to someone about this movie last week, and I suggested it as a gift to his brother, and he came back to me. He said, "Tom, I checked it out on Amazon.com, and it's $120. I said, "No, it's not." And I checked it out, and sure enough, it is.
It's got to be a mistake, huh?
What's that?
It has to be a mistake, don't you think?
No. I checked it out, and what it is that some retailers who are doing their thing through Amazon.com are just somehow upping their price. I want to tell everyone out there who does want to buy the movie, the DVD, This Old Cub, buy it through This Old Cub website. It's www.thisoldcub.com, and I'll repeat the address: www.thisoldcub.com. So go there; you can get it for $19.99.
And if you haven't seen it, it's really good.
Yeah,
I totally
agree.
It's really good. I mean. You know, people can say what they want about Ron Santo as a broadcaster and everything.
Yeah.
But what this guy has gone through his entire life with the diabetes, I mean, it is just amazing. I mean, he is one hell of a person. There is no doubt about it.
So, anyway, I just want to let everyone know in case someone did decide to go check it out and say, "Wait a minute, it's on Amazon.com. I saw one price $120, someone sold for $395. I'm like, what? So, yeah, don't even consider paying that price. Just go to thisoldcub.com and pay $19.99 plus shipping and do it there. So, anyway, I just want to let everyone know that. Okay, we're going to be back in about a minute or two, and we'll be back with Sean Roof, shortstop for the Illini baseball team. We'll be back.
Right on the third base line. One out, last of the ninth. Black of pitches. Bobby Thompson takes a strike call on the inside corner. Bobby hitting at 292. He's had a single and a double, and he drove in the Giants' first run with a long fly to center. Brooklyn leads it 4-2. Hartung down the line at third, not taking any chances. Locked in without too big of a lead at second, but he'll be running like the wind if Thompson hits one. Franco throws. There's a long strike! It's going to be, I believe! The Giants won the pennant! 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 Bobby Thompson hits into the very back of the left field stand! The Giants won the pennant! And they're going crazy! They're going crazy!
Bobby Thompson up and carry it off the field. You're listening to the Baseball Result Radio. We have Sean Roof, the shortstop for the University of Illinois baseball team. Sean Roof has been all third team All Big Ten. Sean hit .333 with a on-base percentage of .432 this year, and was an All-Star at the Coastal Plains League. Sean, I'd like to take time to introduce you. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Fantastic. I want to put this interview in perspective here. This is the last. This is the day after the last day of the finals at the University of Illinois, and you are, if I remember correctly, this is your senior year, and this is your fall semester. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. It sure is.
Oh, it's fantastic. And I wanted to get a sense of what do you and the rest of the team do when it's your off season? What the rest of the guys and you on the team? What does the coach have you guys do when you guys are not in season?
Well, it never really seems like an off season. You know, we're always doing things, but.
Sure.
What we usually try to do in the fall is we get back to school, and for like the first week or two, they try to let us just get, you know, back to the flow of things, and they try to just keep doing a few meetings here and there. But starting September 1st, we practice for a month to the end of September. And what we do is we just, you know, try to, you know, get used to the system. The coach is bringing the new guys and, you know, try to implement, you know, how they want them to play the game and get used to the way they do things, and then we try, you know, obviously try to get used to each other and get to know the freshmen and the new guys, and then as well as it's a good chance for us to work on things for about a month. And when that's over, your body's pretty much dead by then, because you've been playing since January, practicing every day and playing in the summer, so everybody's pretty tired. But after that, we might take about a week off, and then we start our heavy running and lifting part of our schedule. We try to really gain as much weight and strength as we can. So since October 1st, we've been just hardcore, just, you know, running three times a week and lifting three times a week. And we've been doing that, you know, religiously. And then about 3 weeks ago, we started hitting and throwing again. So, you know, you don't think you're very busy, you know, because games are not going on and practice aren't going on. But, you know, just you got to keep doing all those things. And then with school, you know, you're always busy, so.
Well, it sounds like it, yeah. I went to the Orange and Blue series earlier this year, and that of course, mm-hmm. that's a big place in the fall. So it does give those people who have not seen, you know, college baseball for a whole, you know, what, you know, 4 or 5 months, it gives us a chance to see you guys in action. That was quite exciting. And it does give us a chance to see some of the new players that have come on board, and that was kind of nice. And you don't in the Orange Blue series, all the stars don't play, you know, every day. We get a chance to see some of the new guys, and that was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I got to see the catcher from New York, Joe Mercurio. Is that his name?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and he seemed like he had a really nice arm on him.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're very excited about him and the other freshmen. We had 10 freshmen come in, and we got about, I think, what is it, 5 of them are pitchers and 5 of them position players, and every one of them seems to have a chance to compete for a spot this year. So they're much more mature than their age as a freshman. You wouldn't know by the way they play that they're freshmen, and they're very good. We got a junior college transfer from Johnny Logan, who swings the heck out of the bat. He can really hit. So we're anxious to have him. And you know what? We have a lot of depth this year. You know, we got a lot of guys that can compete for spot in different positions. We got a lot of guys that can play all over the place. So, you know, it's going to be interesting this year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
What is the prospects for the Illini for next year, do you think? You made the Big Ten championship 2 years ago. Last year, you're mm-hmm. around 500. How do you see it for next year?
Well, 2 years ago, we did win the Big Ten, and we lost, I think it was 8 position player starters.
Right.
And we only had one returning starter from that team, and we lost a couple big-time pitchers for us. But coming into the year, a lot of people didn't expect a whole lot of things from us. We were a very young team, a lot of redshirt freshmen, a lot of freshmen, and a lot of guys that, you know, and hadn't really had a lot of bats. But we really were a little bit better of a team than last year. We just kind of, you know, had some rough moments here and there. We could have won a couple more games. We, you know, obviously should have had made a better run at winning the Big Ten. But as far as this year, I think with having having everybody back with two position players, and I think we only lost a couple pitchers, we have a very veteran team with a lot of depth. And as far as what I look at, I see the same kind of team from 2 years ago that won the Big Ten. A lot of guys back, a lot of hard work, a lot of effort, and guys that love to play the game, and a lot of talent. And I really think we have a great chance at competing for the Big Ten tournament, Big Ten championship, as well as go on the Big Ten tournament and get into a regional tournament. And once you get into the regional tournament, anything can go on from there. So sure. I have very high expectations for this year.
That's fantastic. You guys just signed a top prospect, I read on your website.
We sure did. Our coaches, I don't know a whole lot about this class other than from what the coaches have told us, but they're very, very high on these guys. We signed a kid, two pitchers, I think maybe the top two pitchers in the state, a left-hander, right-hander. Mm-hmm. Casey Crosby is a left-hander who was supposedly the top, I saw on Baseball America the other day, the top 80 prospect in the country. He throws in the low 90s, and they're very, very excited about that guy. He's supposed to be a heck of a player and a heck of a competitor.
He's from Illinois?
He is from Illinois. I think up near Chicago area somewhere.
Yeah, where's he? Is he from Lockport by chance?
You know, he could be. I'm not really for sure, but I think that might be right.
Yeah, because that name sounds familiar, and if it's who I'm thinking of, I used to live in Chicago up until a year ago, and I umpired high school baseball.
Okay.
And I remember a kid named Casey, a left-hander from Lockport.
I think you're right.
He could bring it, man.
Oh, they are very high.
He's got a heck of a yacker on him, too. He's
tough. That's what I've heard.
Yep.
I've talked
the same kid.
People. Oh, I bet it is. I've talked to many people, and they're very high on this kid. So we're excited about him. We got a right-hander named Nick Chmielewski, and I think he was one of the top right-handers in the state. So we're very, very excited about that guy as well. And we have, I think, an outfielder and an infielder that signed. They're supposed to be very good. And the infielder, he's supposed to run like a 6'6", 6'60", or something, 6'5", 6'60". So he's supposed to fly.
Wow.
And the outfielder, he's supposed to be a heck of a guy. He's played football, baseball, and a wrestler. So they said he's just a hard-nosed son of a gun. He really plays the game well, hard. So we're excited about him. And then we got a junior college guy that's signed here with us. He's playing down. I'm not really for sure who he's playing at, but he's supposed to come in and kind of provide a veteran leadership for next year. So they're very high in that class, and hopefully we set a tone this year that, you know, winning the Big Ten is what Illinois is known for, and hopefully these guys will help carry on the tradition. So
that sounds awesome, yeah. Well, let's talk about you a little bit.
okay.
Yeah, you play shortstop, but 2 years ago you played third base a little bit, if I remember correctly. Is that right?
You're right, yes.
Was that like a... You switch back and forth from short to third, or did you play third primarily, or what was the whole deal with that?
Well, what happened was out of high school, you know, most kids that sign out of high school are center fielders or shortstop or catcher. What I've always been told is if you can get a shortstop, you can play pretty much anywhere on the field, and usually that's where your best athletes go. But coming here, I was a shortstop. In my freshman year, the coaches do a great job here, Coach Holland and Coach Snyder. And Coach Snyder is an unbelievable infield instructor. But what they do is they work you out at each position. So just in case there's an injury or you need a spot, starter here and there, you can play. You're comfortable at any spot in the lineup, you know, on the field. So my freshman year, we had the kid, he was a sophomore. He was a freshman All-American shortstop the year before. So he played he started every game at shortstop, and he was a heck of a player. He ended up transferred, but he was there short. And actually, that year I played a little bit of first base. I had about 15 starts at first, which I never played first until they put me into a game at Ohio State that year, and that was crazy. But that was fun. And then I played a little bit second that year. And beginning of my sophomore year, I played second for most of the part. At the end of the year, our third baseman kind of got hurt, and we needed a third baseman. And unfortunately, Ryan Hastings was hurt that year with his he had surgery on his wrist, so he was kind of out. So they needed a third baseman, and they put me out there, and I just kind of went on with that. So yeah, I feel comfortable playing anywhere. I'd rather play on the left side of the field just because I've always been on that side, sort of third. It's a little more comfortable seeing the ball off the bat. But, yeah, you know, any one of our guys on our team, our infield, can play anywhere of the four infield positions. Okay. And the coaches do a great job with that.
Well, I know you told me this story about when you were playing with the Fayetteville Swamp Dogs over the summer at the and the coach was going to play you at every position at in the one game, but you told me that that didn't happen because of the weather or something like that?
You're exactly right. Yeah, my sophomore year I played short, second, third, first for him, and this year I played all four infield positions, and I played left and right in different parts of the games, in different games. So he goes, you know, I just want to play every spot. You know, you've done everything, almost everything else. So I was like, why not? So that would have been a lot of fun, but that, unfortunately the weather got it. So that's how it goes.
Well, did that Jose Oquendo happening, huh?
Oh, it would have been fun. It would have been fun. Maybe another day.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Hey, Sean, I noticed that your younger brother, Jonathan, just signed with Michigan State.
He sure did.
How'd that happen?
I have a brother that's there as well. I have another brother that's already playing there this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a sophomore there this year. He transferred from Virginia College. And then my brother, he just signed. But what happened was we were playing them last year, and one of their coaches came up to me and said, hey, you remember me? And I was like, you know, coach, I apologize. I really don't. I was like, will you refresh my memory? He goes, well, I used to play for your dad in Oneonta, New York, one of the Tigers, Detroit Tigers minor league system.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, no, I wasn't up to that weekend when my two little brothers went. And he said, oh, I think they were like 12 or 13 at the time. And he said he was the starting pitcher that day, and they were while he was warming up at the bullpen, they're throwing baseballs at him and making fun of him. And he said those little turds were messing up my concentration, you know. He said, I think he ended up having a three hitter or something that day, and he said he needed to happen more often. So he was telling me about that, and I was like, you know what? I got a brother who's at a junior college right now. He's a freshman. And at the time, he didn't have a place to play, and he said he was going to start sending out letters to all the Big Ten schools and some other schools in Kentucky and other places. So I was like, coach, you know, he's going to send you a letter or an email or something, you know. Will you just look out for him, you know, give him a shot? And he was kind of like, oh, yeah, okay, you know, the political correct answer.
Right, sure.
So by the end of the weekend, you know, they liked the way I played hard and everything. So he came up to me at the end of the weekend, and he said, hey, you know, I really like the way you play, and make sure your brother gives us a call in the next couple of days, and we really want to talk to him and go see him play. So they went down and saw him play this summer. He signed there this summer. And so he was ended up going there, and they saw my brother at a show, my little high school brother, who's a senior this year. They saw him in a showcase, fell in love with him right away, and they got him as well. So at the time, I'm not too happy about it. The Thanksgiving dinner was a little tough. They were hooting and hollering on me. They're going crazy, and the one that's already there this year, he's already talking about how we played them senior day this year, so all my family's already talking about
where
how
at? Where at? Down in Illinois.
Down here in Illinois, so I've been here 4 years, and none of my aunts or uncles or cousins have ever come to a game,
now my brother's
here, they're all wanting to come now, so I think it might be me. But, no, I'm really looking forward to it. He's already a little trash talking going on, and he's already talking about how it's going to be sad if they're going to come to our place on senior day and sweep us and win all four games. And I told him, not in my house, sweetheart.
So, now, what position is he?
He's a third base and catcher right now. They're kind of trying to turn him into a catcher. He's a left-handed hitting kid. He's about 6'3", kind of tall and lean,
he's kind of
skinny, but he's strong as an ox. He's getting real strong, and he's finally filling out of his body. He kind of grew late, so he's kind of learning to use his height and his strength for some power. Sure. So he's going to be a heck of a player, and it's going to be sad that he's probably going to end up with more home runs than me this year. I've never hit one. He'll probably hit one before I do, but I can't wait. I'm tickled to death for him. You know, I'm really happy that he got a chance to play there, and hope it works out. I can't wait the senior day to play him. So,
yeah, that'll be great.
And I told him to make sure whenever I come home, he's not blocking the plate.
You'll take them out.
Yeah,
competition.
And for those that don't know, you know, Sean is the son of Gene Roof, and I assume by nephew of Phil Roof, correct?
Yes, sir. Sure is.
And I have to ask this, of course. How does that, you know, affect your baseball development and just, I mean, do you get tips from Dad and your uncle, that kind of thing?
Well, obviously, first off, you know, I got some of those genes, so that kind of helps
sure.
a lot, you know.
Right.
That right there in itself.
No pun intended.
But, exactly. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but no, you know what? Ever since, you know, my dad, when I was born, my dad was playing in AAA in Louisville, for the Louisville Redbirds at the time. So ever since I've been born, I've been around the game. And as a kid, you know, my dad... Luckily enough, you know, he'd play in the summer, obviously, and they're done after 8 months. So he was home a lot, working with me a lot and everything. But, I think first off, just being around the game so much, I learned so much from just watching. Well, my dad started coaching when I was probably, I don't even know when he started, I was 2 or 3, 4 years old, I'm not for sure.
Sure.
But, he started out down in North Carolina, and he'd always take me to the ballpark every day and during batting practice and everything.
Wow.
When I was little, so I was always around those players at a little age. In fact, I lost my first tooth playing catch with one of those players. And the player freaked out because he's like, oh, I'm never going to play again. Not the,
who was
the coach's
it?
Stuff. You know what? I don't know the guy's name. He was a single A player. I don't think he ever got very high. But,
right. I was on the bus the next day.
Exactly. but you know, every day I was out in the field, you know, working, seeing all those guys. You know, I saw how those guys took care of their business, how to go about the game and how to play it right. And then whenever he went to the big leagues when I was in the early 90s, so I was around that aspect for a while, and that was a lot of fun getting to see all those things. I even played with Prince Fielder in Detroit. We played on Inner City League up there. So I played with him and another coach's son, so I got to do those things and got to travel around and get to see different things. A lot of kids didn't get to see. And then after that, he went back to being a double-A AA and triple-A manager for, when I was about 12, 13, 14 years old. So whenever we'd go up there and team in the summer for a week or two, he'd always take us and let us sit in the dugout during games.
Oh, sweet.
And, I mean, just that right there, I mean, I learned so much
sure.
watching those guys. I mean, just sitting by those guys, you know, just seeing how they went about their business.
Exactly.
That was the biggest thing I learned. And I sat around with a lot of coaches, and they'd be like, oh, you know, this guy did this. When you ever become a baseball player, don't you ever act that way. Don't you ever do this. This is how you do it, you know. And, you know, my dad's always like, yeah, I'll make sure he doesn't act that way. But, no,
oh,
so that part of the thing, I learned so much just sitting in the dugout, just listening to those guys talk. I wouldn't say anything a whole lot of times because I was scared to death of them. And obviously scared to death of Dad. He said, you better behave, you know. Or you're in big trouble. But no, just sitting there and watching that from that side of the, from inside of the dugout and inside of the team, I learned a lot just right there.
Uh-huh. Well, I have to say that you know, I've been to a fair amount of Hawaii games, and yeah, stats aside and you know the awards aside, you are just a really fun player to watch. I watch you when I get the free outs and it's time to go out to the field. Boy, there's no stopping you to get to your position. You are running the 50-yard dash, and boom, you're out there. And if you're at the bat, and you get the you get a walk, yeah, boom, there's no walking you. You're running the first base, and that, yeah, that to me is so refreshing to see, you know, compared to a lot of the major leaguers we see who don't run out the pop-ups and don't run out the ground balls. It's so nice to see. And like a lot of the Hawaii players are like that too. But, you know, but I notice it especially with you. And another thing about I've noticed about you is you don't shut up. And I mean that in a good way.
No,
you're always talking.
Sure.
You're always yakking. You're always in the game. You're always... you know, come on, let's get more runs. Come on, we can do that kind of thing. And,
mm-hmm.
and I, if I were a coach, you know, I gotta like that kind of thing. No, but and I'm sure Coach Dan Hartwell likes that too.
There's times he likes it. There's times he likes it, and there's times he doesn't, you know?
You want to slap you upside the head, right?
Exactly.
But, no, I'm sure that he likes to see the players, in the game, you know, providing some leadership, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't know what it is, the reason I sprint on and off the field. I think that reason is I was in eighth grade, I played for a guy, and he said, you better be the first one on and off the field. He kind of challenged each one of us. And that kind of just stuck in my head for some reason. And my dad has always talked about, he would never yell at me for striking out. He would never yell at me for, you know, making an error or doing this and that. The only time he'd ever yell at me is if I played the game like a dog or I embarrassed myself.
Uh-huh.
And that was the only time. And, you know, as long as I played hard, he didn't care if I was 4-for-4 with 4 home runs or 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts. You know, he was happy, proud of me and everything. So that right there, that helped a lot. You know, I never had to worry about, you know, that. And he was really on to me at a young age. You know, you better run on and off the field. And just being around my dad and his players and some of his coaches, I kind of thought that way from that. I learned from that. And the coaches do a great job, too. You know, they really want us to play hard. And as long as you play hard, really, if another team is better than you, you can take that a little bit easier if you lose. But, anything can happen. If you play hard, it really helps you. I see, and, you know, a lot of times I get made fun of a lot by the other team, and I make a lot of people mad. But, I mean, look at David Eckstein. He just was the end of the World Series MVP, and a guy like that gives me hope. So
exactly.
And I just get out there, and I just, for some reason, I click, and I just have so much fun playing. I just absolutely love it. So I'm always talking, and if there's a ball, I have a little routine. I say one thing. If it's a strike, I say another thing. And I was talking to Ryan Hastings, our second baseman, yesterday during the camp, and he's like, God, you just never shut up. He's like, you should hear me talking to some of those umpires and some of the things they say about you. And I was like, yeah, I try to stop, but I just can't. I just start yelling, and I can't stop it. So.
Hey, that's okay. I've been on a lot of baseball fields. You see kids just walking on, walking off. It just drives me up a wall. I can't take it.
I know that feeling. And, ooh, that was, I hate that, and I hate that more than just about anything. You know, and that was one of the few things my dad would ever get mad at me. I didn't get on and off that field quickly. So.
Right. Well, yeah. Shows, too.
Now, I got to ask you, Sean, do you play NCAA baseball on Xbox or PlayStation?
We were pumped about that when it came out last year. I think every one of us that even has a PlayStation or Xbox, we all went out and bought that the first day. I know I did.
Were you yourself in Home Run Derby?
You know, I tried it, but I couldn't hit a ball to the infield, so I had to go with Bence or Davis in the home run hitters. But I definitely played a season with it, and I had a lot of buddies that would call me up, and they're like, "Dang it, man! I was up at this game, and you made an error, and you cost me the whole game, and I ended up losing the Big Ten." And I was, man, I'm sorry. You know, I'll try to do better next year.
And my cousin just finished his senior year at Southern Illinois. He was a pitcher down there. I don't know if you ever played him or not, but he was a big
lefty. What's his name?
Adam Snyder. He's a big lefty.
No, I don't remember the name.
Yeah, tall, skinny lefty came out. He was in the bullpen for them. And he went out. He got it, and he was a pitcher. But he said he used to just sit there and do the home run derby as himself, and he's hitting 400-foot bombs. And he said, damn. This is great.
our pitchers were the same. Well, we had some pitchers that had better, you know, hitting statistics than some of the position players, and we always made fun of them, you know. But that is another joke on our team is every practice, all right, guys, we've got to work really hard for our PlayStation stats to get better. So, but, no, it was cool. You know, a lot of my cousins bought the games. A lot of my friends have bought the games. And I know my little brother and my little sister loves playing as me. So it was the coolest thing for her to have her little brother in the PlayStation. It made her cool with her friends. So.
Oh, yeah. It is a blast. I mean, I get in there and, you know, I won't be Southern Illinois, and I'll call for number 24 out of the bullpen. Here he comes.
Oh, you have to. You have to call. The only thing about that game is I'm so slow. I feel like I have catcher speed or something, and it's terrible. That's about the only thing I boosted up with my speed.
Time to fire out a letter, that's all.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Sean, what's happening with the Illini baseball team? What's upcoming? What's your schedule like for the next for next year? Anything you want to?
Yeah. Well, right now we're all off for a month. We come back January 15th for our running test to make sure that we're in shape, ready to go. And I'm not really for sure when we start practice, but usually it's within a week. January 15th, so we'll start anywhere between January 16th and January 20th for practice. And we'll practice for about a month, and then it's go time. I think our first game is February 24th or something.
You guys head south?
Town, right?
You head south?
Yeah, right at the end. Yeah. Head south for about a month. We go down right. south for about yeah. 20 games. But, yeah, we got that. And I think, I don't know exactly when our hot spell banquet is, but we have that coming up where we kind of introduce, we kick off the season. And I think you said that Raleigh Heeman is our speaker.
Right, Raleigh Heeman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's, yeah. He's a Chicago White Sox executive. Is that what right. it is?
It was the White Sox. Yep, when they went in ugly days, you know, in 83.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, we're anxious to have that.
Yep. He was with the Orioles too, I think, and he's pretty influential. Matter of fact, he's the guy that got the Arizona Fall League started and all of that. And
that'll be February 17th is when that is.
Okay.
The hot soap banquet.
And so that's always a fun little event. You know, a lot of the families come up. That's usually the first time I see my family after I've left since Christmas break is up. So it's a good time to see them. And no, we're ready to go. I'm anxious to be to start. You know, right now for the past 3.5 months or so, we've been doing is running and lifting. So we're ready to pick up some baseball again and some bats, and ready to kick it again with the outlook of our team. I know a lot of guys are anxious. We still have a lot of work to go. You know, we have to come back and work our butts off, but we really feel that we could be a special team. So we'll see what happens.
Is Coach Hartler ready to go?
I think he's fired up. He's ready. I think he's ready to start tomorrow. You know, all coaches are ready to go. I mean, if they could practice every single hour of the day, they'd do it. You know, so he's ready to go, and I think, you know, all the coaches are very excited. And
I think he had a pretty solid year last year. The last year was his first year after Itch Jones retired. Mm-hmm. And I think he had a pretty solid year, all things considered. It's not easy to take over after someone like it, you know, Itch Jones. And I think he had a pretty good year last year.
Oh, he definitely. It is tough. You're exactly right about filling someone's shoes like Coach Jones. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, if you really don't really think about it, but you played for a Hall of Famer and a legend. I've talked to a lot of people, and they're like, "You played for Coach Jones? Oh my God, you're lucky." And I was like, "You know, right. They're exactly right." Because just the knowledge he had seen he claims that he's seen every single kind of play that's ever happened in baseball. It's happened to him in a game, and I guarantee it happened. I mean, just for what he did. Michigan, my freshman year, for example, we were in extra innings, and there was a guy on second base, and it was one out, I think, or no outs. So it was a bunt situation. He ends up bringing our right fielder in for a sixth infielder. So somehow the guy makes a spectacular play, gets the guy out at third, but somehow, okay, the sixth infielder that we or the fifth infielder that we had. So then somehow a guy gets a triple the next at bat. Next batter gets a triple. He takes the right fielder, puts him in center fielder because he had a better arm than center fielder, and the batter somehow, we had his heart hit the center field. What do you know? He hits the ball right to the center fielder comes up, fires the guy out at home plate, you know. only Coach Jones would that ever happen to, you know.
Wow.
And that stuff right there, but you know, you're right. Coach Harlan did a great job coming in for Coach Jones.
Yeah.
I know you wanted to kind of talk about his style of coaching. I love playing for him. For the fact is, he's a big believer in practices are his time. That's where he does his teaching and his work, kind of like a teacher in the classroom. But when it comes to game time, he sits in the corner and just sits back and watches. But he sits back, he lets us go out and take care of our things, you know. He lets us do our thing. He doesn't, you know, stand over us and say, "Hey, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this."
That's
you know,
good.
If you do something wrong, he'll come up to you and say, "Hey, this is what you should have done. This is what you shouldn't have done." You know, he doesn't sit there and scream on if you don't make it. If you make an error, you strike out. You know, he'll just kind of say, "Hey, you know, if you would have done this, health better.
Right.
And so the biggest thing I like about him is he lets us go out and let us play the game.
Right.
You know, and that's where I feel he's a different, you know, he helped me out a lot. You know, and the thing about him and Coach Snyder, they've done a great job on letting us have the green light and give us a lot of confidence and say, hey, go steal a base. Why not? And if you get thrown out, you get thrown out. Who doesn't get thrown out before, you know? It won't be the first time you've gotten thrown out. It won't be the last time. And if you learn from that and you have a little bit of confidence, it just helped me out a ton last year. So, and I think a lot of the guys enjoy playing for him because he stays off our feet and he lets us go out there and have some fun.
Sure.
So.
Now beyond your senior year now, I mean, I'm assuming you have aspirations to play pro ball, would be my assumption.
Oh, definitely, yes, sir. I sure do. Yeah. But you know what? That's not up to me. You know, all I can do is go out and play my game and help the team win. And if we keep winning, and just the right person comes on the right day, it might happen. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, that's why I'm also going to get a degree right now. So
yeah,
I would love to play. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I told you I didn't. I mean, that is my number one goal in life is to go on and play professional baseball and see what happens from there. And if it doesn't, it doesn't, you know. So we'll see. Right now, I'm always worried about is going out there and just winning the Big Ten, getting the NCAA tournament, and see what happens from there. So we'll see in June, I guess.
That's right. Right. That's right.
So when do you find out as far as the ether?
The draft is in June.
Right.
The draft is in early June, and you can obviously, I think being a senior, you can sign early whenever the season's over with.
Right.
But hopefully we're still playing in Omaha at that time in the draft, or still in the tournament at that time, so I won't be able to sign early. But, yeah, I won't know until then.
Right. Hey, here's a tough question. Here's a tough question for you, Sean. Would you rather be a pick in one of the first three rounds or win the College World Series this year?
Oh, that's not even a question right there. My dream has been to win the World Series since I can remember, you know. And I tell you what, Omaha is a special place. You know, I've talked to a lot of people who played in Omaha and in the World Series and have played professional baseball, and they said their greatest moment ever was Omaha,
because
of your teammates and everything. And I had a buddy this summer that played for North Carolina, and a bunch of us, you know, we'd play with him and everything, and we followed every single pitch, you know, that during the World Series. But yeah, definitely winning the World Series, for sure.
I know a couple of guys that have umpired the College World Series and have had for the finals, and yep, they said the same thing too. I mean, it is the ultimate, man. It is just so special and just so awesome.
They said, oh my, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. I remember when my dad had a player. Well, he's a guy. Warren Morris, the guy that hit the game-winning world home run in the World Series that one year for LSU.
Uh-huh.
And I talked to him. I asked him about it. I was like, you know what? I mean, just how awesome was that? He just, you know, he's like, there's no words for it. You know, all the time I see that home run replayed over every summer. So, yeah, that's
sure. Yeah.
That's definitely our goal this year. That would be amazing.
That right. Would be. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Well, Todd, you got anything else you want to ask?
No, just good luck on the season, and I hope you guys can accomplish everything you're shooting for.
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for the coverage you guys do for us. It's awesome.
And you bet.
We really appreciate it, and hopefully we just make it fun enough for you guys to come out this year.
You bet. I want to say that Sean, I think you're a hard-nosed player. You're one of the best on the team, and I enjoy watching you, and quite honestly, you're actually a really nice guy too. It's a pleasure to interview you. Good luck next year. I'll be seeing you. I'll probably talk to you too. I'll probably run into you. Good luck, and I really appreciate you doing the interview.
Oh man, I had a blast. Thank you guys so much. To all the listeners, happy holiday season, and
yes,
take care, too. Guys.
Happy Same to you, Sean. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks.
Bye. Okay, we're back from break. We're going to make this real quick here. I want to give out the feedback address in case you want to send us an email. If you have any questions, any suggestions, any comments, feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. I want to take this time to Wish everyone happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. Just happy holidays. Todd, anything you want to say to the listeners out there?
No, I just want to say it was a pleasure talking to Sean. And seems like a really great kid. And,
I thought so, too. Yeah.
Just, I just hope everything works out for the Illini this year.
I'm really pulling for him.
So, sounds really focused in, on the goals that they have set.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the interview, too. I thought it was really awesome. A great, great guy. Anyway, that's it for the show today. I hope we will not be putting out a show next week unless Todd wants to do a show on Christmas Day, but I don't think we will, or New Year's Day. This will be our last show for this year. We will be coming back for more Baseball Zealot Radio at the beginning of 2007. And we will be back probably on the second week of the year after New Year's. So check the website then. Otherwise, have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and we'll be seeing you later. Bye-bye.